News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Good to have you along. Football Friday, more about high school football around here. We'll get to that later in the hour, including a couple of games that are going to be on TV tonight. One on national TV. Ours isn't on national TV.
It kind of is. It's on the stadium
network.
You're
right. It is kind of, yeah. Ours is on national TV, too. So there.
Yeah. It's not on that other woke network, right?
No, it is not.
This will be our last Friday for a while before we start talking with Paul Feinbaum every Friday for Football Fridays. We'll start doing that next week goes to plan.
At this time.
At this time, exactly. So looking forward to that. And big story. Well, let's just say this. Say it every Friday. Kind of turning it over to you, if you'd like, on the text line, 251-343-0106, whatever you'd like to discuss this morning, we can get into, and we certainly have some local stuff to get into, but the big news nationally was the former president turning himself in yesterday to the Fulton County Jail, Trump turning himself in right around 6:30, I guess. Was that 6:30 Eastern time? I know that I was waiting up last night for him to go through with the entire booking process and waiting for somebody to write up some stories to see what all went on there. It was really strange watching on social media, because that's where you get news first these days. Mm-hmm. The first thing to come out after Trump landed, came off the plane, gave the thumbs up. His motorcade traveled to the jail. So strange seeing, I don't know, and I don't know if they were state troopers or what, but like maybe 50 troopers on motorcycles leading the presidential Secret Service motorcade.
Really?
And he pulls up at the jail. The first information that came out was Trump's height and weight. And if you don't think this was big news, there were hundreds of thousands of tweets yesterday, and I'm sure Facebook posts as well, just about his height and weight. Yeah. Where people were claiming that it's false and this and that. Does it really matter? I don't really know. But 6'3", 215, they're saying, that's a lie. He doesn't really weigh 215 pounds.
I would say he weighs at least 215 pounds.
I would say so.
Because 6'3",
yeah.
You know, that's not way overweight, really.
Yeah, but he's not 350 pounds or anything that.
No.
And as far as mobility, and he talked about this a bit in that Tucker Carlson interview the other night, he does move around quite a bit better than our current president, at least coming off the plane and walking. He's a little better than Biden looks, but Biden wasn't the one turning himself in for the mugshot yesterday. And even before
maybe that day will come.
It's very possible. And even before the official mugshot came out, there were fake mugshots being spread around the internet. But what ended up happening, the fake mugshot, the photoshopped one, looked very similar to what really happened. You had Trump with a bit of a scowl. I'd call it a determined look into the camera. A PO'd look. That fits as well. And there were a lot of people wondering whether he'd smile. There was at least one of his co-defendants who smiled in the mugshot, Jenna Ellis. The rest of them have either blank expressions or serious looks, like Rudy Giuliani had a similar mugshot look as Trump. But just as everyone predicted, it was used not only by Trump as for his campaign funding, because right now you can go to the Trump website, wherever that is, and his campaign is hawking T-shirts and other merchandise featuring his booking photo.
Mugshots. Yes.
And I find
Dalton was shopping around for those online.
I am thinking about getting a mugshot mug. But underneath the picture of the mugshot, it says never surrender. And I understand the point that the Trump campaign is trying to make, like they're going to fight this thing, and it's entirely ridiculous, and I agree on all fronts. But if it's a picture of a mugshot where he turned himself in,
that is the documentation of the surrender.
Of the surrender to the courthouse. So he surrendered and put never surrender under the picture. But I understand what he really means, and that's that they're going to fight all of these charges. Trump did, after his arrest and return to Trump Force One, spoke with the media that was in attendance, and he talked for about a minute. Here's what he had to say yesterday after the mugshot and everything was taken.
It's a very sad day for America. This should never happen. If you challenge an election, you should be able to challenge an election. I thought the election was a rigged election, a stolen election, and I should have every right to do that. As you know, you have many people that you've been watching over the years do the same thing, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Stacey Abrams or many others. When you have that great freedom to challenge, you have to be able to, otherwise you're going to have very dishonest elections. What has taken place here is a travesty of justice. We did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong. And everybody knows it. I've never had such support. And that goes with the other ones, too. What they're doing is election interference. They're trying to interfere with an election. There's never been anything like it in our country before. This is their way of campaigning. And this is one instance, but you have three other instances. It's election interference. So I want to thank you for being here. We did nothing wrong at all. And we have every right, every single right, to challenge an election that we think is dishonest, that we think is very dishonest. So thank you all very much, and I'll see you very soon. Thank you.
Yeah, and speaking of, capitalizing on this for the campaign, you have the Trump campaign selling the mugshots, a bunch of other companies also selling the Trump mugshot. And somebody noted online, all of the bickering back and forth in the Republican debate from Wednesday night kind of seems trivial after this, right? After it does, in ways, and I know some of you will disagree, seem like outright political warfare. And we'll get into some of Fannie Willis and some stuff that's been uncovered about the Fulton County District Attorney here in a minute. But talk about capitalizing. The president, current president, Joe Biden, on his Twitter feed yesterday, right around, let's see, this was posted at 6:30 p.m., which was when Trump was set to turn himself in. He puts on his Twitter account, Biden does, "Apropos of nothing, I think today's a great day to give to my campaign." So a bit of a... maybe not under the radar, but kind of a blatant capitalization of his political opponent being indicted and being arrested and taken in for a mugshot yesterday. So,
yeah, that's very true.
Love to see your comments on this from last night. You also had Rudy Giuliani. He spoke with the media after he turned himself in. I can't remember if it was Wednesday or Tuesday, but Giuliani, one of the 18 other co-defendants along with Trump.
Fannie Willis will go down in American history as having conducted one of the worst attacks on the American Constitution ever when this case is dismissed. She has violated people's First Amendment right to advocate the government, to petition the government for grievances, like an election they believe was poorly conducted or falsely conducted. People have a right to believe that in America.
That's Giuliani's take after he had his mugshot taken.
A little bit of a side story to that. We can get back to wherever you want to go with this, with Trump. I heard and saw a number of maybe social media people that put their stuff out on social media on a daily basis, people who put their entertainment on YouTube, taking time from their show to say, "Whoa, Tucker Carlson and Trump, unbelievable. 228 million views on X," that interview that aired at the time of the debate.
Yeah, they published it 5 minutes before the debate started Wednesday night.
So people were taking time from their own podcast, whatever you want to, saying, "We got to talk about this." Mm-hmm. Like, that is insane. So the debate itself got, I don't know,
12.5 million.
12.5 million.
Which they're considering a win.
Yeah, I would consider that a win.
It's more than the last non-Trump debate, but remember, in 2015, when Trump was in the debate, there were 24 million viewers.
Yeah. I look at it like through the lens of sporting events. So 12 million is more than many sporting events, national sporting events. So that's not bad, I guess. 228 million views as opposed to 12 million. Just sort that out.
Now, are the numbers for the X.com video, the Twitter video, are they a little juiced? I would say yes. Those are more likely impressions than they are actual views. But even still, if 225 million, scrolled by it, I would reckon at a minimum at least 12.5 million watched most of that interview for sure. Who knows how many actually stayed and watched the entire thing? I know I did, and there's no doubt it got a lot of eyeballs. And that Tucker Carlson, after being excommunicated from Fox News, that now that Elon has this They're paying people for Twitter impressions now, and Tucker's probably making a pretty penny just off of publishing his videos there.
Yep.
You look at even the other interviews that aren't as notable as Trump, but maybe in some ways is important for the people to watch that he's had over the last couple of weeks, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's picking up a cool 70, 80 million impressions on each of those. So his numbers, I know a lot of people, including MSNBC and one host in particular who averages, I think, 200 or 400,000 viewers on her show was saying that Tucker has no audience now. And it's like, no, you have no audience in your show. He's still getting a ton of people that are checking in online.
How does that compare to what Joe Rogan is doing?
Joe Rogan, and I can't remember the last time there were some official numbers from Spotify, but Joe Rogan is getting, I think, you know, millions, tens of millions of listens to each of his podcasts.
Yeah,
and those are 3, 4 every now and then 5-hour long podcasts.
Right. Those are insanely long, but people like them, obviously. But this, put it in perspective, this is like, this was a record ex-post, right? Mm-hmm. This probably set a record, right?
I would say so, yeah. There's probably no doubt about that. And there was some good audio from that. We didn't really get to dig in to the Trump interview yesterday as we spent a lot of that time talking about the debate. But I kind of thought, you know, it was about 44 minutes long. They started real hot. And even with Tucker asking him whether he believes that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself in that prison. And this was one of those things where Trump was almost like, I really don't want to wade into that.
Yeah.
But Tucker was saying that Trump's attorney general, Bill Barr, basically outright lied in his self-published book. Well, it wasn't self-published. He wrote it, and it was about him. And it was published by some big publishing company, but that he outright lied about the investigation into Jeffrey Epstein's death. So Tucker kind of asked Trump about that, and Trump went back and forth. He's like, yeah, it should have really been looked into. There was a lot of weird stuff. But in the end, Trump said, yeah, I probably do think Epstein, you know, committed suicide because he had a really good life prior to. I don't agree with Trump on that necessarily, but I don't know how I would know more than Trump about that specific scenario.
I can imagine. I could see Trump just being uncomfortable with that whole line of questioning. That's not why he was sitting here with Tucker to talk about that.
And again, something I wanted to point out, and we'll get in more into this Fannie Willis thing that's been uncovered, and a lot of people were posting about last night about her political allegiances, which is not surprising. But when the Ukraine question was asked at the Republican debate the other night, and you had Vivek Ramaswamy, the only one who outright said, I think we need to quit funding Ukraine to the tune of billions of dollars, what we're doing right now, and that we have stuff to take care of here at home.
Yeah, we have our own border.
And DeSantis was a little more like, well, I think Europe needs to carry a lot more of the weight in that fight. And then all six other candidates were pretty much for keep business, keep money flowing to Ukraine the way that it is. Trump, still the only one who's mentioning the hundreds of thousands of deaths that are happening in this war. I'll just play this clip and then we'll get into more here later in the hour. But here's Trump talking about that war in Ukraine.
You're supposed to be getting us out of that horrible, horrible war that we're very much involved in with Russia and Ukraine. You could do that. You could do that very easily. I believe you could do that very... I don't believe he could do it because he's just incompetent. But that's a war that should end immediately, not because of one side or the other, because hundreds of thousands of people are being killed. Can you imagine you're in an apartment house and rockets are going into that building and blowing it up and knocking it down? And why should anybody, human beings, is a human, whether they're Russian or Ukrainian or whatever they are, it's got to be stopped. And it can't be stopped very easily. It would have never started if I were president. It would have never started.
Now, you know, whether that's true or not, who knows? But for as anti-war as the left has been for so many decades, and for all of the people wondering, how can you support Trump? Blah, 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 blah. How is it that other than Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who they're trying to do away with, Trump is the only candidate, the only person that's saying, listen, we need to find a way to make some sort of peace agreement here. We need to try to find a way to end the war.
Yeah, now, Trump's the one talking about the human cost of this war. Yeah. I haven't heard anybody bring that up hardly since the very beginning. And, you know, I tend to think that there is something to the idea that, you know, would that war have started if Donald Trump was in the White House? That's a fair question. And it's a fair I think it's a fair assessment on Trump's part to say, no, it would not have. And he knows his relationships with those leaders better than anybody else, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. And when we come back, we'll get more into this Fannie Willis thing, the Fulton County DA, and we also have a lot of text to get to right here on Mobile Mornings.
822, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for listening. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. I know you want to get to some things here quickly on the text line. When will Fannie be charged? All right, we'll get to that. first and foremost, we've both been looking over some of the social media for the district attorney in Fulton County, Fannie Willis.
Yeah, and there, believe it or not, are people out there arguing that Fannie Willis is completely nonpartisan. She's an objective district attorney, and she's just doing her job. Most of us were like, well, that's not true. She's pretty clearly on one side. And even further deep dive into Fannie Willis's social media, she's got pictures with, you know, Black Lives Matter advocates out there marching. This one picture from a screenshot from a news hit in Atlanta, and she has a coffee mug on her desk that says Proud Democrat with the donkey on it. This is the supposedly nonpartisan Fannie Willis. But the night of the 2020 election, when Georgia and Fulton County were having so many issues with getting their votes counted, there was one Fannie Willis who was at the time very worried that there was some objectionable things going on.
Yeah, she was concerned about the election
going the other way.
Integrity, mm-hmm. Right? On that evening,
yeah,
but not that anything was going to end up favoring Democrats. She was worried she was more worried about the results. She was saying there's corruption here.
She was like setting the stage
in case there was a loss.
Right, that the Republicans were doing some untoward things right that night. Like this post from November 2020, November 4, Georgia could determine who is our next president. A team of lawyers needs to watch them count every single vote. They can start in Fulton, where we are having water leaks. What ballots are they throwing out? Georgia, let's give an honest accounting. No stunts. So she's saying they need somebody to watch every single vote. That ended up not being what happened. She posted...
The water leak happened.
We remember that.
But then, we were here that night.
But then actually having, you know, people watch over the counting of every single vote.
Right.
Very questionable there. And she said, okay, I'm watching TV and Marvin Arrington Jr. request all ballots in Fulton County be counted again to make sure all votes count. The other commissioner sat silent. No other commissioner seconded his motion. Ask yourself why. Y'all better start paying attention to what's really going on instead of reality TV and pay attention to reality. Now, if I didn't tell you who was posting that or their political leanings, you'd say, oh, it's another Republican election denier that
it's Jim Jordan.
Yeah, that things had gone off the rail. Yeah. I mean, the posts go on and on from not only that night, but the following day, she posts about how much of a mess had been made of the elections nationwide and that it was ridiculous that the different hoops that all these different states were going through. And it's almost like she was an election denier day of. And she also talks about how it only seemed like white people were voting in the Fulton County election and almost pointing to something being strange very there. It's obvious. And it's not just with Fannie Willis, but Jack Smith, the special counsel whose wife produced the documentary on Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother was a Soros fellow in school. You got, obviously, Alvin Bragg and Letitia James, who have brought charges both criminally and civilly in New York, who more or less ran on getting Trump into trouble.
Yeah.
It goes on and on, and people are just going to act like this isn't
partisan.
All political. Yeah.
It's 8:30 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings rolling on.
8:35 on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for listening to Mobile Mornings. Really appreciate it. And on this Friday, right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, man. Good morning, y'all.
Hey, and looking forward to maybe a temperature drop soon, but not soon enough. Going to have another hot weekend here and a hot weekend on the lot at McConnell Automotive. Now, I'd be brave enough to come out there to check out the great vehicles you have on the lot, whether they're new or pre-owned. But for those that aren't, you have a fantastic website with everything anybody could ask for.
That's right, McConnellAutomotive.com. You can look at our vehicles in the comfort of your nice air condition at your house. But we're going to be here all weekend. Yeah, it's going to be another hot one, but there's like some cool weather coming next week. So at least it'll be down in the 90s instead of the 100s. But we got some great selection of cars. Like I said, you can check all those out at McConnellAutomotive.com. And if you got any questions, give us a call, 251-476-4141. We've got Lexuses, we got Hondas, we got Buicks, we got GMCs, we got Ford Explorers, we got all kind of stuff here. So like I said, you can check that stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com, or if you're out running around this weekend, come by and see us.
Also, still buying cars from customers?
That's right. Gene and Mike are in there all day long trying to buy cars. I'm trying to buy some stuff in Fort Lauderdale right now, some work vans. So if you're in the market for a few work vans, we're going to buy a couple today and get them out here in the next day or a couple of days. So we'll have them on the website too.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. We'll get to the Ascension Technologies text line here in a bit. 8:37 on Mobile Mornings. That text line, by the way, 251-343-0106. Also, if you want to give us a call, now that Louie's gone away, the phone lines are open if you want to give us a ring. 251-343-0106.
I actually laughed out loud earlier from this text. Not that it's the funniest text ever, but it got me for some reason. We had Dr. Bill on the line, and Calvin said, "I've never wanted to hear Dr. Bill say bridges and roads may be icy so bad in my life." And I was just thinking about how dang hot it's been, and it's ridiculous.
Since June. I would think that the month of June was probably near some record for the month of June. I think July set records. You know, we know it's hot in Mobile. We know it's hot in South Alabama. It's hot at the beaches. We get that. That's one of the reasons we're here, because access to the beach is much of the year, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. You like it? But come on. Mm-hmm. I mean,
we normally catch at least a break for a little while.
Yeah, and yeah. Somewhere in August, you get that morning where you're like, oh, wow, fall's on the way.
Yeah.
Not yet.
And, you know, I'm not saying global warming or anything like that. I know some of you are just dying to come through here and choke us. Oh, they're global warming clowns. No, I just, the roll of the dice sometimes. And this summer, what we rolled was basically a month of straight heat, yeah. straight yeah. hellfire. Yeah. And that's what we've been dealing with. Now, as we've been keeping our eyes on the Atlantic, well, more specifically, as Dr. Bill has been keeping his eyes on hurricane season, we do have a little something that's going to get a lot more talk here over the next week. And that's this system that kind of worked its way from the Pacific over Central / South America, and then it's working its way into the Caribbean. And they're thinking, I think 70% chance of formation over the next week is what I saw. And as it kind of forms in the Caribbean, right now the track has it heading towards, well, the cone I saw had Tallahassee to Tampa, basically.
Yeah.
And Dr. Bill feels pretty confident at this point, just kind of the conditions and the way things are setting up, that we shouldn't at this point be too worried about what may come, especially we have a cold front that's kind of coming down next week that'll help bring some precipitation and also lower the temperature. But that is something we'll keep our eye on, is whatever it's going to be that works its way up through the Caribbean over the next week.
Did you notice his reaction when you said, you know, these things you never know? And he was like, no, I know. Yeah. Like in this particular case, he's really confident it's going to be along the east coast of, or the west coast of
the Florida. Western side of the peninsula.
Yeah, and so that's, with that, plus the combination of that and this cold front coming down, we could see some rain on Monday and Tuesday. Then it's going to clear out and be warm, be hot, but not the extreme heat that we've had. Mm-hmm. Like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we should be okay next week. We're used to the heat already, so it's not going to be 102. It's going to be more like 94.
No, I'll take it.
I will too at this point.
Jamie texted in, if Trump goes to jail, and I presume he means like if he's sentenced to time, does the Secret Service have to protect him while he's in there? I would guess so. I mean, Secret Service protection doesn't go away for former presidents.
No.
I would guess so. And you texted back, it's all so weird. And
yeah.
I agree. And watching yesterday, that entire motorcade, which I believe they were met up with state troopers in Georgia, or I don't know. It was a long motorcade and a bunch of law enforcement motorcycles, and they were all pulling up to the jail. Very, very strange.
Anybody on the
times.
Street? You know, the
there were rallies going on.
Okay.
Yeah, and I know some Trump supporters were worried that it was another honeypot, another Fed deal, and that they were expecting things to get a little out of hand. From everything I've seen, it did not get out of hand.
Well, it can get out of hand in Atlanta because we've seen with the
Antifa
riots, dealing
yeah.
with the police.
Cop City?
Yeah, the Cop City, what they're building in Atlanta, and how that's come under siege by Antifa on a number of occasions. So Atlanta's a big enough city with that influence certainly in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised there wasn't any more of that.
Pat said, I have something I want to talk about. How do we expect to retire by 65 and live our best life after that, yet we keep voting old hags to continue running our country into the ground? Hashtag we need younger electorates. That's something that Cameron Smith talked about a little bit yesterday. And while Cameron said he has a blanket rule, maybe it's a new rule, and he'll be guest hosting again on Midday Mobile today, that he will not vote for any, what was it? He won't vote for any candidate, presidential candidate, who is over the age of expected lifespan. Like the average lifespan for an American male or woman, he's no longer going to vote for any presidential candidate who's over that age.
That's way up there, though. It's got to be mid-70s, right?
I think, which that would put, I guess, you know, both Trump and Biden kind of in that lane.
On the outs, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, and I still have high hopes for Ron DeSantis, and he's kind of fumbled it away for this election, and I still think he can pull it together, but right now, I don't see, and there's a lot of people that say there's no way that Trump could ever win an election again, and maybe you're right, but I don't see any Republican that's currently running with a remote chance at winning the general election, because I don't think they'll pick up a lot of those Trump votes, a lot of the people who are so fired up and will go through whatever storm may show up on election day to go vote for their candidate Trump. A lot of those people weren't involved in the political process until Trump came around, and they'll go away just as quickly as he's out of the mix. So I really don't have very high hopes. I'd love to be more optimistic. I don't have very high hopes for the Republicans winning in 2024.
You got to remember, though, it happens. It's going to happen on both sides. There was a surge in Democrat voters because they wanted to make sure Trump didn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of Democrats are less likely to vote than Republicans in a normal cycle. They're less active on election day. So you're going to have this is going to be a big, well, I say that. If it is just a Republican against Biden or a Democrat, I think that the numbers are going to be way down from where they were.
Overall.
Yeah, way down overall. So that kind of just throws it up in the air. And, you know, also we do have time. I mean, Ramaswamy came out of nowhere, and everybody knows who he is, and they have an opinion of him one way or the other, where we didn't know, you know. I mean, a crisis can come along where DeSantis can look like a hero in Florida and nationally, because he's in office right now. He has to keep performing his office duties. There could be something that comes down the line in the state of Florida where he's got to be the guy that is not just campaigning. He's doing his job, but by doing his job, he's gaining support because people are saying, I like that guy.
Hmm.
Look what he did. Look what he did just right there, you know. And, of course, he would have to get the media would have to play some role in that so people could see that whatever deeds he took advantage of, you know, that he reacted to. But all of this, you know, there's time to go. And I just think that
a lot of time.
We're watching it, you know. We're kind of almost too close to the fire.
Mm.
It's kind of just see the way it all plays out.
Yeah, I think most people, there was a poll I saw, even those politically involved, instead of watching either the Republican primary debate or the Trump interview, they just watch TV, maybe some game or a movie. That's still what most Americans are doing. There was one poll for who won the debate, and I saw Drudge did their own polling. I need to go find that number again, Drudge Report. But the New York Post did one also for who won that Republican primary debate. And 23% of self-identified GOP voters said Ramaswamy, 21% said DeSantis, and 11% said Mike Pence, in their opinion, won the vote. Great text, by the way, Pat. It has gotten ridiculous how old so many in our electorate are. Just Mitch McConnell alone and Dianne Feinstein, who I mean, you don't need me to tell you what kind of health she's in. It's apparent anytime you see her on TV.
Yeah, she's not well at all. Isn't Grassley one of the Republicans that's coming after Hunter Biden? Mm-hmm. He's in the middle of that thing, you know. He's got to be 85, 88 or so, the gentleman out of Iowa, but keeps getting elected. He keeps running, and the people in Iowa keep saying, that's our guy, mm-hmm. so... what are you going to do unless you put a limit on when, you know, the age that you can even run for office?
Yeah, and you know, mentally, he seems, you watch him talk, Grassley mm-hmm. seems more with it than a lot of the younger candidates.
Yeah.
So, funny how some of that works sometimes. Gardner texted in, said, the Constitution was set up so the people could protest and or fight the government if it takes away rights or doesn't follow the Constitution. Another texter here says, everybody better be careful. Karma will have her day. This texter says, explain how to sign up for the football contest. We'll get back into that here maybe in this next segment. Chris Francis, yep, he's saying, you know, Trump isn't the only one who's ever protested election results. I think that's pretty accurate. Trump pointed that out.
Well, Democrats, the mayor of Atlanta, when she lost when she lost for governor of the state of Georgia, right? She ran for governor of the state and did not.
Stacey Abrams, yeah, right? She lost to Kemp.
She protested. Republicans and Democrats have historically done that.
Been loving the back and forth this morning with now the name on here is Sad Troll, and I know Jeff calls you Sad Troll. I'd love to call you by your name. I'm not seeing it right now, but so I'll have to go with Sad Troll for now. But for like the eighth morning in a row. Eighth time in a row when we bring up Space Command, texter said, so in other words, let's see here. It was about Space Command is not coming to Alabama. We had a chance and allowed Tuberville, who doesn't even live in the state, to rob the state of having it. Get over it. We lost. This texter basically gloating, but every single time we bring up Space Command, text the same thing in. So I said, you're kind of a one-trick pony. Can we get a curveball or a something else, another pitch from the selection there? And same texter, Trump's going to prison, and no matter what you clowns do, it's not going to help. I, for one, love it as Trump's defeat secures the presidency for the Democrats. So, yeah, Satchel, would you call yourself a patriot with that kind of belief system? You love that Trump's going to prison. You didn't mention what crimes he was alleged of. You say, I love it as Trump's defeat secures the presidency for the Democrats. And that's what this all comes down to. Democrats, the liberals in charge, are willing to do away with any kind of decorum, any kind of political, you know, don't care anymore about keeping
just to get to the end
everything on the level. They'll do whatever it takes.
They have as much belief in their belief system as conservatives do in theirs. So that's what it's, you know, whatever it's going to take, it's important enough to them and to many conservatives that, you know, those policies happen, and they only happen when you've got the majority and maybe you have the president as well. So, yeah, that's where he's coming from on that. And also, is there any chance that sometime this fall you'll be looking across to me on this side of the studio, and I'll be wearing a mask.
Maybe. Will you? That's up to you. I can tell you, you won't be looking at me wearing a mask.
I never did wear one in studio back when COVID first hit because, yeah, we were all...
You might wear a mask on Halloween. I don't know. A wolf mask or something.
Yeah. This COVID situation. Wow.
Yeah, it's picking up again, isn't it?
It is.
Like we said.
It is. And we'll maybe really quickly just examine it for what it seems that it is. It's tough to get to the truth. 849 with Dan and Dalton. Good morning to you.
Boy, text line buzzing like hornets now.
Instructing me to do things with a mask I'd rather not do.
I don't think you'll do that. 855 FM Talk 106.5. We'll let you know who's coming up on the Jeff Poor Show here in a minute. But it is that time of year. I'm so excited. And Greer's Markets is too, and they want to know what's on the menu this weekend. Football has officially begun. It's tailgating time, and maybe you're headed out to one of the high school football games tonight or the game tomorrow. If you do, and you're planning on cooking up some great food, make sure you go look at Lucy's Recipes at Greers.com. She has some really great ideas for tailgating. For instance, maybe try her broccoli slaw salad and go to Greer's, pick up some of that amazing fried chicken. It doesn't get easier or more tasty than that for some tailgating food. Greer's Markets makes it easy for you to grab and go with their selections of specialty cheese, dips, chips, and crackers. And they have great selections of wine and craft beer, and you can order them online. All you have to do now is show your ID at pickup. The Greer's Markets in Fairhope and the one on DIP on the way down to Dauphin Island also have liquor stores attached. So before you shop, go online to Greer's.com. Check out those weekly specials along with Lucy's recipes. And they always have great meat specials as well as produce, alcohol, and other items. But whatever's on your menu this weekend, Greer's Markets has what you need. Most locations now have free curbside pickup and delivery. Like they always say, Greer's got it. We guarantee it.
You know, one of the fields might be the boys baseball field named after the Greer family at St. Paul's. Of course, tonight we won't be at St. Paul's. We'll be at UMS Wright.
UTV 44.
They both went pretty far in the state playoffs last year. UMS Wright in 5A and St. Paul's in 6A. So it should be a good matchup tonight.
Yeah, looking forward to that and some other really good games that are on the way. And I'm really, got to say it, Dan, I'm looking forward to hearing you and Jim on the call again together.
Thanks, man. I'm really excited. 24th year of doing this. Pretty amazing. Just kind of fell into it years ago on Comcast. It was just on like cable channel 6, like, you know, like Wayne's World, like we were just in access.
Mm-hmm.
It's grown to, we have somewhere between 800,000 and a million households now can view. And now tonight's is on a national platform.
On Stadium Network. Yeah. I think someone on the International Space Station, if they tried hard enough, could probably find a way to watch the game tonight between UMS and St. Paul's.
We'll have to have subtitles depending on who's up there.
Also,
Somebody named Yergi.
Someone pointing out the ESPN game tonight. You have Saraland hosting Lipscomb Academy.
Yeah,
I have big allegiances, so I'll be watching the UTV 44 game. I'll record the Saraland game, try to watch it after.
Thank you, Dalton.
Yeah, but that is what a moment for Saraland, and we've seen several teams in our area get that kind of recognition where they get to play over the years on the big network and have the country watch
Pretty cool.
Also, someone wanted us to say, remind folks how to sign up for the online pick'em, and what a great prize package that's on the line for one grand prize winner. I'll say it again, the Big Green Egg Mini Max from Spring Hill Ace Hardware with a portable stand and side table and gift basket full of grill accessories from Carrot Patch Jewelers, the collegiate pendant, 14-karat gold necklace, and your choice of school, so you can pick which one you get. And also from Allegri Farm Market, a made-in-Alabama grilling package that comes with two cases of Kaneka sausage, along with plenty of sauces, spices, and other locally made groceries. This entire package, valued at over $2,000, going to one grand prize winner. And you can sign up. Still have just over a week to sign up. Go to fmtalk1065.com, and at the very top of the page, click College Pick'em Challenge. That'll give you the directions to sign up. If you have any issues, feel free to text the text line, 251-343-0106, or email me, Dalton, at fmtalk1065.com, and I'll get you taken care of and signed up, so you'll have a great chance to win. It's free to enter, by the way.
I'm Terry, reacting to our show this morning and the fact that I've got the high school football tonight. Dan's World. Party on, dude. Okay. All right, man. Thank you. Watching football tonight. Jeff Ford's on the way next. FM Talk 1065.